Thank you, Jesus. Let's hear God's word from John's Gospel, chapter 11, if you want to follow it on your Bible apps or on the Bibles you've got in there. Normally, this story needs the kind of all 44 verses, but we'd be here for a long time with that. So I've asked Emma if she'd just read the kind of middle section from verse 17 through to verse 27. Of John chapter 11.
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.
Our text today is one of the most important explorations of the subject of life, of death, of resurrection in the whole of Scripture. The key figures in this encounter, if you're not familiar with the passage, and I would encourage you to, if you haven't read it before, go away, read John chapter 11. The key figures are with Jesus are Mary and Martha, who have featured previously. I'm sure you've heard talks about Mary and Martha before. Their brother Lazarus, who, as the story opens, was ill and then subsequently died. The three of them were very close friends of Jesus. His home, their home, of Mary, Martha and Lazarus, is a place that Jesus seemed to frequent quite a lot. It was his getaway retreat place to get away from the ministry that he'd been doing around Galilee, and he would go and stay with them. The story opens with Lazarus being very sick. The sisters, Mary and Martha, had sent word to Jesus to come quickly. Now, I'm sure many of you have received those sort of messages before, haven't you? Come quickly. Someone is very ill. My mother, as you know, died last year in Ireland. And over the previous 3 or 4 years, I'd received several of these Phil, come quickly notices. Now, trying to get to Ireland on short notice can be challenging, to say the least. I remember one time I was in North Devon at the time, and I received a Phil, come quickly, she's going notice. I think actually it was my father at that point was going. And I'd just finished taking a funeral. I'd answered the phone, my mobile, and I'd said, Phil, come quickly. So I gave Sandra a call. I said, Sandra, look, I'm going to go and get some clothes from the home. I'm going to drive up to, I think it was Bristol, and I was going to catch a ferry from Bristol over to Cork and then go from Cork, or fly from Bristol Airport to Cork and go and get to my father as quickly as possible. And I can remember it very distinctly, nothing to do with the fact that my father actually survived and I went home and had to go back again several weeks later, but that was nothing to do with it. But I arrived at Cork Airport, which is on top of a hill, and I hadn't got any other transport, and I decided to walk down into Cork and see if I could find a taxi to take me from Cork out to where my mother lived in the middle of thing. Sensibly, I'd have caught a taxi at the airport, but I didn't think of that at the time, as you don't. And I started walking down the hill, and walking up towards me was a young lady pushing a pram with an Alsatian dog. everybody in Ireland seems to have dogs, and she walked up the hill towards me with this dog. And I was still wearing my dog collar and clerical outfit. I'd only just grabbed a couple of bags and stuck them in a couple of clothes, stuck them in a backpack, and headed off. And I still had my clerical gear on with the dog collar and everything. And I walked down the hill. And she comes up the hill and she says, "Father, Father." "Oh, it's me." She says, "Father, Father, would you mind praying for him? He's very ill at the moment." And I thought, "Yes, I know. I'm just going to go and visit him." No. "She's very ill." Well, that's not what she meant, but she's very ill at the moment. So I said, "Oh, gosh, of course I will." And I bent over the pram to say a prayer for the baby. She says, no, the dog." That's Ireland for you. Mary and Martha send word to Jesus to come quickly. And what does Jesus do? He says, he waits another couple of days. In fact, until it's 4 days after Lazarus has died before he gets there. And he has a long conversation at the beginning with the disciples about why he's waiting. And he talks about how God is going to be given the glory. And he arrives and Lazarus has gone. And that may be the experience for some of you as well. And in our society, we hold a lot of stuff, don't we, about being there when the person goes. And I'm sure there was something similar going on in Jesus' culture at the time of the New Testament. To be there at that moment. We see that as being very important. And as Jesus arrives and we hear the story opened as we heard it this morning, Mary and Martha... Mary comes up to Jesus. Is it Mary? No, it's Martha, the sister of Mary, comes up to Jesus and remonstrates with him that, you know, he was late. "If you had been there, my brother would not have died." Over and over again, when I go and visit a bereaved family, the thing that they say to me is, "If only, if something was different, it would have been better. If I had got to the hospital on time, if the doctors had done their job properly, if. And we rail and rant about how it could have been different. If only she had stopped smoking. If only I had insisted that we go to the emergency sooner. Martha's no different. "If you had got here sooner, it would have been better." How futile it is to remonstrate about what would have been different if it had been different. But somehow we need to talk it out, don't we? We need to get it off our chest. We need to do something to actually say, "Oh, if only." It is our powerlessness in the face of death, the last enemy, that causes us to go, "Ah!" And Jesus is no different. There is a passage in there. Let me see if I can find it again. Jesus, the passage the Bible tells us, is deeply moved. Now, if you look behind those words to the Greek, if you look at the way the commentators have them, they have been sanitized again. Because actually what the Greek says is Jesus was incredibly angry. He wasn't angry at Mary or Martha, because so often what we do is we project our anger onto someone else, don't we? He wasn't angry at Mary and Martha. He was angry at death. It just says, and he was deeply moved. Well, he was incensed. Because death is itself the enemy. And he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. She was angry. She was upset. She was angry at him because she wanted him to be there. And he wasn't. And you can see him kind of taking hold of her shoulder saying, Mary, Mary, I am life. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. And he needed to break through her anger and get into what was going on in her heart. But when Mary comes, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. And she also said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But her need, her weeping, her grief, he resonated with her in that grief. He understood it because he too grieved. He too was angry that death had taken Lazarus. And we get this shortest verse in the Bible that everybody knows. Verse 35, and it says, Jesus wept. Because he too was moved at the plight of his friend Lazarus. And those with him said, surely he who opened the eyes of the blind, could he not have kept this man from dying? Now, in Palestine, it's quite warm. Hot. Anybody been to Palestine? It is hot there. You can testify to the temperature, can't you? It's hot. You don't keep meat outside in hot weather. He says, being quite gruesome. You don't keep dead bodies outside in hot weather. It is the practice in Palestine to bury people as soon as physically possible. If you are a poor family, you would bury them in the ground as soon as you can. If you're a slightly more wealthy family, you would have a grave already prepared, as we saw at Jesus' own death, where he used the grave prepared for someone else. Jesus knew he'd only need it for 48 hours. That was a joke. He borrowed it. They had already, Lazarus had got a grave prepared for him. It would have been a hole in the side of a hill with a stone that was put in front of it, just like Jesus's. Lots of echoes with Jesus's own story here. It was also kind of a Jewish understanding that anything after 3 days, the person would really, really, really be dead. Because, you know, even if it was just a mistaken identity, actually, after 3 days, the law said that the person would be dead. And so by day four, there was absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind. All the mourners had come from Jerusalem. He was definitely certified by every ability known to the people of that time that he was gone. He'd have been buried the first day. And we hear when Jesus says, move the stone, the mourner's immediate response is, do we really have to? It's going to stink in there. Can you imagine going back to a grave that you've just done 4 days later and digging it up again? That's the equivalent of what we're talking about here. You know, a funeral's happened, the body's gone down, 4 days we want to dig him up again. by Jesus' teaching, by his miracles, by his own resurrection. Jesus clearly taught the resurrection of the body. That's what we say in the creed, if you say the creed in church at some time. We believe in the resurrection of the body. He declared once and for all, death is real. But there is life after death. And that he is that life. Now, I've heard some people argue that Jesus was kind of 50% man, 50% God. I disagree with that. I think he was 100% man and 100% God. I don't know how that works, because I'm not God. Yeah. But he was fully man and fully God. A God-man. And from our human point of view, that's really difficult to understand. And there is no other religion that kind of thinks of it in that way. There's no other religion other than Christianity that believes in the transcendent creator, the author of life, who became a weak and limited mortal who felt the full horror of death. But also offers the full glory of life. Death and life. Death to life. That's what we celebrate when we are baptized. When you're baptized, you go down into the water, you die, you come up out of the water, you live, symbolically. You're moving from death to life. Christianity is far more important than life and death. It's about death and life. It's about dying and living. Jesus says to Martha, listen, don't despair. I am the resurrection and the life. That's what I am. Do you believe in me? We don't always respond to grief in the way that we should. Grief does make us angry. But grief, as I say pretty much every time I'm at a funeral now, that grief is actually about love. If you didn't feel love, you wouldn't grieve. Because love, grief is actually an expression of our love. It's just the other side of it. And we as Christians should have the insight into dying to know that there is life beyond death. Because we believe in a resurrected Saviour who brings life. Not just life now, though I'm going to come on to that in a minute, but life after life. Life after death. As we saw in his encounter with the woman at the well and with Nicodemus, Jesus is gentle, approachable. He comes alongside the weak. He confronts the strong. He has tenderness without weakness, strength without harshness, humility without the slightest lack of confidence, the unhesitating authority with a complete lack of self-absorption, power without insensitivity. And as Jesus comes to Mary and Martha, he is all of those things. He is strong where he is need to be. He is compassionate where he needs to be. He is sensitive where he needs to be. So much more than we can be. Even though we try, we can never find the right words to say. Just being there for us is usually enough because people just want somebody with them who can bring comfort. We don't always have to find the right words to say. We're not Jesus, even though sometimes he gives us the right words to say. Just being there. But Jesus had the words and he used them and he comforted Mary and Martha. But his words of comfort were words of life, not words of death. This verse 38, where Jesus, deeply moved, addresses the crowd, move the stone, and speaks to death, speaks to Lazarus, come out, in words of authority. Take off the grave clothes, let him go. And he says it with anger, because death is the enemy, and he is there to overcome the greatest enemy of all, death. And he says, come out! When we get angry at the death of a friend, a relative, let us be angry at death. Not at the doctors or the nurses or the ambulance drivers or our relatives or even ourselves. Let us project our anger at death, who is the enemy. Jesus is God's son. He's not mad at God or even himself. He is mad that death is the result of sin and not part of God's original design. And it has claimed a close friend. And we think, well, why, if Jesus is able to raise Lazarus from the dead, if God is able to raise him from the dead, why does he still allow people to die? What that little boy said last Friday. Because Jesus didn't come to this world with a sword in his hand to defeat, to bring judgment, but to bear the judgment. He came to take upon himself the death that should be ours. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the price of that sin is death. Jesus came to take upon himself our death so that we might have life. And he knew that every good deed does not go unpunished. You've heard of that one, haven't you? Actually, it was a lady ambassador to Italy who first said it in about 1920. No good deed goes unpunished. And Jesus, by raising Lazarus from the dead, knew that he would suffer for it. In fact, it was that very action that propelled him on his journey to his death. Jesus came that we might have life in all its fullness. That does mean life after death, but it also means life now. And that no matter what happens to us in the here and now, we need to actually be aware of God's hand upon us. The story starts with Jesus waiting 4 days before he goes to the tomb, because it will bring glory to God. And it's a really hard thing for us to hear when we are struggling and when we're suffering, when we're grieving, is to trust God enough that he can bring good out of the suffering. If it is for God's glory, God's Son will be glorified through it. If we are followers of Christ and we believe that God through Christ has overcome death, then even if we're grieving, we need to trust that God will bring good out of tragic situations. You've probably seen on the news the mudslide in Colombia, where they estimate hundreds of people have died. What good can come out of that? Tragic situation on London Bridge the other day. The ongoing slaughter in various parts of the world. Tragedy after tragedy. What good can come out of that? They brought to Jesus similar things. You know, what caused the collapse of the tower in Siloam, where tens of people died? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. We just have to remember that God is with us. And he's not with us in life after death. Yes, of course he is. But he is with us now. He's not just with us after we die. He is with us now. And as we journey through the joys, the tragedies, the grief, the celebration, Jesus journeys with us. And he will take all of the things that happen and he will transform them. It may be as a result of a conversation that we have with someone because we too have experienced grief. It may be because at a funeral we can smile and people look at us and go, why are you smiling? Well, we know that our loved one is with God. We have faith. We don't know how God will use each situation that we face. But all that we can believe is that God will use them. God will take the suffering that we experience in ourselves, in our loved ones, and out of it he will bring something of good. We have to trust and be obedient. And it's a hard teaching. Christ, as the Lord of life and death, still invites the world to come to him. Death is inevitable for all of us, but Christ has won the victory over death and shares that victory with all who repent and believe in him as their Saviour and Lord. To respond to Christ's invitation is to surrender our independence, but to die to ourselves is to live in him. We begin to live when we say, no longer me, but you, Lord. Our death leads to our resurrection. Our death now leads to our resurrection now. The death of ourself leads to life in Christ. He is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, even though he dies, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, a somber message this morning as we journey towards Easter. As Jesus journeyed towards Easter, as Jesus journeyed towards Jerusalem, towards the cross, towards the pain, he journeyed through death to life. Lord, we pray that you would take us through this experience of dying to ourselves to live with you. help us to trust you enough that in our grief, in our sorrow, in our mourning, we may find life. Blessed are those who mourn. Lord, help us to move through Good Friday to the joy of Easter. And not just do that on a couple of days a year, but to do that every day. To know that you are life, and in you is life in all its fullness, right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to send you out with an old Celtic Gaelic blessing. Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the bright sun to you. Moon and stars, may they pour out their healing upon you. The deep peace of Christ. The deep peace of the bread of life in all its fullness. The deep peace of the light of the world. The deep peace of the resurrection be yours now and forever. Amen.